Well, I'm delighted to be here, and I do have a lot more hair than that soloist. It's just in the number of the drain pipes over toward Archdale. It's scattered all around. But I am so glad to be here this morning. It's a delight to be at Ambassador anytime. I'm thankful for what you are getting in this place, and I hope you are. I hope you don't look at the warts and the wrinkles and maybe the flaws. There is no perfect place, but if you're not careful, you'll miss the miracle all around you and all that God is doing in this place. You're going to be graduating before you know it. You think you never are going to graduate, but suddenly it happens, and you have to leave. You've got to go find something to do with the rest of your life. So enjoy it while you can. Make the most of it. Don't waste a minute. Turn, if you would, please, Daniel chapter 1. I'll let you try to think of what verse I'm going to go to in just a few minutes. But you know, we all have choices to make, don't we? All the time, there are choices. Seems like they never end, and they really don't. I read an article. This is from the Fort Payne, Alabama newspaper, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, a Georgia man was hospitalized after jumping from the side of the Alabama's DeSoto Falls, plunged 150 feet before hitting the water. The leap was not a suicide attempt, since several witnesses reported that prior to the plunge, the man yelled, "Watch this!" You know, that, you talk about stupid choices. That's one of them. You've heard of the famous last words of Redneck. Yeah, hey y'all, watch this. And you know, we see that on YouTube and in various places. It's astounding. People make some stupid choices, foolish choices. But you know, we have to make them all the time. You can go to the Walmart super. Did I say something I shouldn't have? I probably did it quite often. I'm always concerned when people in the congregation are laughing and I don't know that I say anything funny. It happens quite regularly. You go to the Walmart superstore, or you go to the Kmart superstore, and you can find anything. You walk into the bread aisle, and it's not just white bread. You know, it's white or whole wheat or oatmeal or sourdough or multigrain or multi-multigrain. Or, you know, there are choices to be made. You can stand there for an hour, and then you got to go get coffee. You know, and there row after row. And, you know, sometimes it's just hard to walk through. You finally get out of that aisle, then you hit cereal. You know, and you can spend a lot of time looking for Captain Crunch in there somewhere. He's hidden away now. See, do you know that he died? Captain Crunch died. They're putting him to death. They said he has too much sugar. So that just ruined your whole future, didn't it? But decisions, choices. One of our deacons asked my wife and I, said, let's go out to eat after church tonight. And so Sunday night, we stood there and tried to decide. It was almost daybreak before we could decide where we wanted to go. And when we got to IHOP, we had to sit down, and there was a menu. And there again, decisions to be made, just all over the place. Some are lightweight decisions, and some are more serious. Just this past Saturday, we had that storm pass through. You got a little taste of it here. Over in Raleigh, it had tremendous, devastating effect. And one mother, in the midst of that storm, with four little ones, to protect her children, put the three in the safest place in the closet. And those three young children she placed in there, and she held her little newborn in her arms. She made that choice, and a tree hit that closet right there and killed instantly those three children. And, you know, some choices are very serious. 1 year ago, almost this week, four senior boys from a Christian school right nearby us decided they would go out for lunch. It was kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing. They had permission to go have lunch, but they decided to go out, jumped in the car, the four boys, and took off. But they took off at a breakneck speed. And one of the teachers had her cell phone and had their numbers. She was an alert teacher, but she called the driver, and he didn't answer. She called the front passenger,
He didn't answer. She called the third fellow that was in the back seat behind the passenger side in the front. And by the time that boy answered, that car had hit a curb, rolled over, two of the boys were killed instantly, and all she heard was that boy screaming in his cell phone, "Help me, help me." Just a simple decision. I'm just going after lunch. Again, you do not know the consequences of some decisions in life. Let me challenge you. Go with me for a few minutes. Daniel chapter 1. We want to look this morning perhaps at a few men who made some decisions in their lives, and those decisions that they made at a very young age fixed the course for the rest of their lives. They were never the same. And decisions you're making today are forming your character. They're determining your whole destiny and your whole future in this life. Remarkable when you think of Moses. Moses, that great man of God, who walked away from the fame and the fortune and the filth of all of Egypt to follow the Lord. Joseph, who determined in his heart that he would not allow himself to yield and to succumb to the sexual allurements of a very enticing woman who was at him all the time. And then there was Daniel. Daniel, a young man who chose to eat vegetables rather than eat the finest fare that a man could find on earth that day. Major crossroads in their lives. They made the right decisions. And God wrote about these men for our learning. God didn't put that in here just to have a nice story to tell or just so you could keep children's attention. God put this as a record in His book for our help and for our learning and for our profit. Those decisive moments in their lives set their course and they were never the same. Daniel chapter 1. Begins about the wonderful story of a young boy, some say as early as 14 years, who was taken from his home, taken from all watch care concerning his spiritual life, and he is placed in an alien environment among pagans. He could do anything that he wanted to do. But of course you know the story of Daniel. You've got choices to make. And I want to let you know this. Getting a diploma from Ambassador Baptist College does not guarantee that your life will count for Christ. If Dr. Comfort were here, Dr. Surrett could certainly come and say, and Dr. Beal could tell you of some of the best and the brightest who ever came through this place, been the greatest heartaches, the greatest disappointments. Daniel chapter 1 tells us the story of this young man, and I just want to hit on verse 8 right here. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart, and he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel has had a conversation. He has sat himself down and he's been talking directly to himself and he's gotten hard with himself. He said, we've got a choice to make here. We can live any way we want to and nobody is going to say a word. Everybody's doing it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be odd if I make the decision that's on my heart. But Daniel said, I cannot violate my conscience before God. I am not going to defile myself. Daniel is saying this is a personal decision. Have you learned that it is your decision? It belongs at your feet as to what you're going to do with your life. You live in a day when people are always saying it's his fault or it's her fault or my circumstances. You don't know the home I came up in. You don't know how I was abused. Let me tell you something. God places the responsibility at your feet. Daniel said, I'm not going that way. I am not going to allow myself to destroy my life. So Daniel purposed in his heart, because Daniel knew that nobody could defile Daniel but Daniel himself. The greatest enemy you have lives within your body. And you may have more degrees than a thermometer behind your name, but that will not guarantee that you don't wreck your life, destroy your life. I want to challenge you this morning to catch the flavor of Daniel's heart and ask God to let you be a Daniel. Daniel made up his mind. He said, let the others do what they want to. Let them say what they will. I'm not going to defile himself. Daniel could not eat that meat. That food was unclean to him. In the first place, it was prepared by Gentiles. That alone would defile it for him. That alone made it off limits for Daniel. The food was forbidden. Many of those things that were on Nebuchadnezzar's banquet table, were forbidden in the law of Moses. And for Daniel to have taken those would have been, again, against his conscience, even though everyone was doing it around him. The food itself was defiling, because everything on Nebuchadnezzar's banquet table had been sacrificed and offered unto Nebuchadnezzar's pagan gods. And so for Daniel to take of that food would have been in defiance of God Himself. And then there was the wine. He was forbidden for strong drink. Daniel said, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. Look at all of his friends. I don't know how many were there. We're told about four primarily. Those three Hebrew ones that we're going to see in future chapters. But here's Daniel and three others that seem to be the only ones standing, even though there's a crowd there. And yet Daniel said, I don't care. I don't care what they say. I don't care who's watching. I must live before my God, and I'm not going to allow myself in this filthy environment to become like it. And you're going out into a very filthy world. It gets worse every year. I know you look at older people and you say, well, what do they know? Let me tell you what I do know. I know this. If you do not consciously say, Lord, I'm going to keep my life clean, you'll be swallowed up. You'll be swallowed up like those other Hebrew young men. They were in a wonderful environment as far as the world is concerned. I've wondered what those friends must have been like, Daniel's friends. Were they enticing him? I mean, after all, they could have been out in the gulag. They could have been exiled as prisoners. But here they are in the king's palace. And they're enjoying it. And this is great stuff. They're being groomed for leadership and administration of the king's whole empire. And so these guys are having a great time. Daniel, you don't know what you're missing. Daniel, have you ever had baby back ribs? Daniel, these pork chops, they're wonderful. Crab legs. Daniel, shrimp cocktail. Have you ever tasted this? Honey-baked ham. We've been missing out on all this, Daniel. Daniel, it's wonderful. Maybe they were enticing him. Or maybe they were taunting him. Yeah, watch that Daniel over there. Watch him. He is going to offend Nebuchadnezzar. And if you'd offend Nebuchadnezzar, your life is going to be painful, and short. You're not going to live. Watch it. Let me tell you what Daniel understood. Daniel understood that God in heaven was perhaps calling the angels over and saying, watch that Daniel. Look at this. Look at this. There's a young man that I can trust. I am going to use him as a light in this dark place. I'm going to make him a useful vessel for me. I'm going to make him a tool in my own hand. And I'm going to give him a long life, and I'm going to use him in so many different ways, people will read of him for the rest of Earth's history and marvel. You'd have never heard of the name of Daniel if Daniel had simply compromised and been swallowed up by the world that he lived in. But as a young man, as a young person, a little younger than you, he had already purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. God give us the courage of Daniel. Hey, what about Moses? Again, I don't have time to look at all these passages, but if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, let's take a quick glimpse at Moses. You know this passage. You're going to be familiar with everything I tell you this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, look beginning in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he was your age, he'd come to understand right from wrong. He'd come to adult life. Now, we know, of course, he's 40 years. That's maybe a little older than some of you, but he has come to years. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What a testimony in just a few short verses. Moses is one of those great men in the Bible. He fills its pages. Do you understand you can find Moses from Genesis to Revelation? More is written about Moses than perhaps anyone else in the Scripture. There are 784 verses that mention Moses in the Bible. You find him in the Psalms, you find him in the Prophets, you find him in the Gospels, you find him in the Epistles. He's just everywhere. He's one of the greatest men that God ever made. God used him in a remarkable way. And he left the pleasures and the palace, and he never went back. He never turned around. His heart was fixed, and when he walked away from Egypt, when he turned, recognizing that he would rather suffer affliction with God's people and be identified with the Lord's people, he said, I would rather suffer the reproach of Christ. Isn't that interesting? Christ. Wait a minute. If I remember right, didn't Moses live back there about 1500 B.C. before Christ? And yet Moses understood perhaps far more than we realize. But Moses walked away. But he walked away from all the riches. But you know why he did that? Because Moses had his eternal vision right. Moses understood this, that even though he lived in a staggeringly wealthy environment, archaeologists in opening up Egypt tell us the wealth there was just absolutely phenomenal. And yet Moses understood that there were greater riches to be gained. You see, Moses understood that the great wealth, not of this world, but the wealth of all eternity, is found in Jesus Christ. You never give up everything to serve the Lord. You gain everything. We talk about sacrifice, but if we will keep our eyes looking right concerning our lives and eternity, we gain. Everything we give up is just an investment with a great reward. Never get the pity party of feeling like you're sacrificing in coming to Ambassador Baptist College, or maybe that you're going into the ministry, some realm of the ministry, and so you're going to sacrifice. You're not sacrificing anything. You're getting to the place where God's going to bless you and God's going to provide for you. Don't allow yourself to ever think that you are missing out when you've left the treasures of Egypt. You've gotten greater gain. You've gained everything that Christ has promised you. And you have the blank check from the Bank of Heaven, the one who said he'd supply your every need. And he'll do that. He'll take care of you. Vance Havner said, Moses chose the imperishable, saw the invisible, and did the impossible. What a testimony. All because he made the right choice. Hey, what about you? Daniel made the right choice. Moses made the right choice. What about Joseph? I mentioned his name. Joseph. You've got to go back to Genesis to see Joseph. There again, How many things could you say about Joseph? But you remember the story in chapter 39. Joseph finds himself in Potiphar's house. God has elevated him. The Lord is with him. The Lord has blessed him. The Lord has given him favor in his master's house. Everything he does is blessed of God. And yet, there is a woman there. The devil always seems to have a woman nearby when a man decides he's going to live for the Lord. You young ladies, don't forget, he knows how to get hold of the heart of a man too and put him in front of you. Potiphar's wife said, "Lie with me." So blatant and so open. She comes to him day after day. This is not a single act. This is a coming once and again. But finally, on one day, she flings herself at him and she says, "Lie with me." And Joseph's answer there in the 9th verse of the 39th chapter, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I do this?" Joseph did not say, "I will not do this." Joseph said, "I cannot do this. I cannot. I am here because God has put me in this place. And God has blessed my life. God has been with me." And he perhaps could have given her a wonderful testimony of how God had led in his life to that very hour. And he said, "I cannot do this." Joseph made a choice. Again, one day, as Zaphnath-Paneah, he will be second only to Pharaoh. You know why? Because he made decisions like this. Choices in the time of temptation, in the time when he could have yielded, in the time when it would have been so easy to have agreed to Potiphar's wife. And yet he said, "I can't. God's watching me. I live before Him. I live to please Him. I please my earthly master, but my heavenly master is far more important than even Potiphar himself." And so he ran from her. He said, I will not do that. And he took off. He left. He learned that there are times in your life when it is right, it is holy, it is godly, it is courageous for you to run. Run and get out of there. Some of you better learn how to start running in your life. You've never learned that. You've drifted. There's a dramatic difference. You go with a crowd. The crowd will lead you the wrong way. You've never gain the courage of a Joseph or a Moses or a Daniel. But I want you to understand, God will give you that courage if you'll just say, "This thing I do. Lord, I'm going to live for you and I'm not going to allow myself to sin against you." There are more young men, more young women being destroyed morally today. Young people who are headed in the ministry, young people who are in the ministry, whose lives are being destroyed because they never learned to run. Run. Three men who made wonderful choices. They made the choices. It was the dividing point in the trail. They had to go one way or another, and they chose the right path. And God blessed their lives, and God used their lives, and God recorded it in His book to challenge us today. Moses, Joseph, Daniel. You know, the Bible never covers up wrongdoing. Never shies from giving us the truth. And there are far, far more people who yielded to the world and the flesh and the devil than followed the Lord. Adam's choice, it cost him paradise. King Saul's choice cost him his kingdom. Judas's choice cost him his apostleship, cost him his life, and cost him his eternal soul. Pilate chose Barabbas, the guilty one, over Jesus Christ, the one he knew was innocent. And he chose Barabbas, and he lost his soul. Ananias and Sapphira chose to lie to the Holy Ghost, and they lost their lives. Demas chose the wrong world. He chose this present world. And he lost all of his reward. I think Demas was saved. I think Ananias and Sapphira I'm going to see in heaven one day. But they lost because they made the wrong choice. Demas may have been an ambassador graduate. He was a faithful servant, loyal and true to Paul. Paul had great confidence in him. But there was the seed working in his heart, drawing him away from the Lord and toward the world. Finally, he came to that parting point, and he took the wrong road, and he left it. Somebody said, we make our decisions, and then eventually, our decisions make us. That's what we see in the pages of God's book. You understand you must give an account to the Lord? Joseph didn't have to answer Potiphar's wife. Moses didn't have to answer to Pharaoh. Daniel didn't have to answer to the mightiest monarch on the face of the earth. They stood before God and they understood that this life is short. And to be true to the Lord is the wisest thing that they could do. And so they made the right choice. And I want you to understand that your choices either make you usable or useless to God. And you may be praising the Lord and shouting hallelujah and passing out tracts and preaching and teaching Sunday school, and you may be thought of very highly on this campus, but in your heart there is that waffling. Deep within you, you have not set your course. And it's wonderful to live for the Lord when you're around Christians, but what about when you get out in the world? What about when you get out of the time of testing? What about when you get into some local church? You don't have people to buoy you up. You've never learned to walk with the Lord. You've never fixed your heart. And you become a has-been. Choose well. And choose well now. Shelf life is a wonderful thing for food. Eat by such and such a date. I figure if I eat within a year of that thing, I'm all right. I'm going to make it. But let me tell you something. Shelf life for a Christian is a horrible thing. And I know men and women, and so could these others named, those who have been used of God, and yet it is written in their record by God, usable up until this date, shelved. All because they never got to the heart of making the right choices deep within themselves. The choices that nobody sees immediately, but it's the right choice. I want to remind you that sin is going to find you out, and that which you're harboring in your heart, that which you're covering up, God is going to expose one day. And He may shout it on national television. Can you imagine your sin being shouted out to everyone to see? All because you thought you could sin and get away with it. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. You play around with it and it seems so harmless. Nobody knows about it. You're enjoying it. And nothing seems to have happened. And you're walking into the trap. God's not going to let you get away with it. But that is exactly why young people can start so strong and finish so wrong. Look so clean, seem so happy and so joyful. But there's that cancer eating away your spiritual life. You have not made the choice to put it away. Do you understand that there are always those who will try to stop you from running the race? Paul said in Galatians 5, you did run well. Who hath hindered you? Wait a minute. You were running the race. What happened? What happened? You imagine facing your teachers one day and they're looking at you and tears are coming down their eyes and they said, I remember how you served the Lord and you loved the Lord there when you were an ambassador. What happened? How did you make such a wreck of your life? Some girl or some boy is going to come across your path. Maybe they're already there and they're pulling you away from the Lord. They're causing your love for Christ to grow cold. They're a bad influence on you. People can help you or they can hinder you according to the Scripture. And you've got some influences in your life that you need to deal with, and yet you haven't done it. Choices. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. What did Paul say? Flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. And then he said, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You've got some choices to make. Godly people, people that God can use, have chosen to run, to flee. If you're going to be used of God, you've got to learn to flee. And you flee every day of your life. You're to run from sin for as long as you live in this life. You're never to stop running. You never have the privilege to say, I'm going to rest. I'm going to get out of the race for a while. That's what David did. You saw the consequences of David's decision. You've got to run. And in this life where sin is so open and blatant and so accessible, you've got to constantly be running and running and running. You're to flee from something. He says, flee youthful lusts. I want to challenge you to flee fornication, every sexual impurity that is available to you. And it is available, and it's going to be slapped in your face again and again and again. But if you're going to be used of God, you've got to run from that. God has an ordained place where those God-created desires are satisfied, and that's in marriage. And that's the only place. And you're to keep yourself pure and clean. You've got to run. You've got to run from everything that comes across your eyes and comes into your mind. If you've not learned to deal with your thought life in this area, that little space between your ears is going to destroy you one day because you're living in adultery. Say, Pastor, I've never even committed adultery. If you're thinking there, you have. You may be an Ambassador Baptist College student and be a whoremonger, and never done anything physically. You better make your choice. Learn to flee. Flee. But that's just the part. That's one side. The other side, we're to follow. You see, I'm never to stop running from sin, but I'm never to stop running toward Christ. I'm to pursue Him. It's an active engagement. You have a goal line. It's to cross the line to please Christ and to be with Christ. And you're never to stop running. You watch football. You know how that works. A running back is headed to the goal line. He wants to score 6 points. But he's got 11 men who are trying to stop him. And so he runs from them as he runs toward the goal. And Paul says, look, you've got to run from some things that would destroy your life and your effectiveness for Christ. They would wreck you. They would set you on the sideline. And you've got to pursue me. You've got to keep running toward the Lord. Let me ask you, what kind of choices are you making in your life right now? I mean secret ones. Deep in your heart. Purposeful choices. Purity choices. What are you making? Some of you right now have allowed yourself to live in a defiling realm. You're defiling yourself. Doesn't look like it. Everybody I see looks so clean and nice. You got a smile on your face. But you're defiling yourself. Your love for Christ is growing cold. There's a heart-wrecking life that you're living. And God's going to set you aside. God will never use you because you have not come to the place where you've said, Lord, this is my path. I will love you. I will live for you. I will keep myself to you and you alone as long as I live. Have you made that choice? Or have you just come to Bible college? You just enjoy being here. This is wholesome. This is great. I love these people. I love my teachers. But you've never done business with God. Be careful. Remember, we make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. You understand that God is far more concerned with what you are than what you do. He is going to judge you by what you do. But that judgment of your works is based on what sort it is. Did you do it for yourself? Did you do it for the wrong motives? You'll stop serving if you don't keep your motive right. You see? You don't love Him, live for Him, honor Him, dedicate your life to Christ. Somewhere along the line, you're going to leave it all. Somewhere along the line, you'll get disillusioned. You'll be hurt. You'll quit. Because you haven't made the right choices in your life. Mount Carmel, remember Elijah said, how long halt you between two decisions, opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, then follow Him. Joshua said the same thing. That old statesman stood there. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. You are going to have a God. You cannot serve two gods. You will either serve the God that your father served on the other side of the flood, or you're going to serve the one and true God. But you've got to make a choice. And those who have made the right choices, God takes their crooked lives and draws a straight line. And you look at yourself and you see yourself flawed and you see others who seem to have so many more talents than you do. But you don't need to seek other abilities. You just need to dedicate what ability you have to the one who is able to take your life and do the impossible with it. Where will you be in 20 years? You look at me and you say, it's hard for me to believe that old codger was ever young. But I used to be. Time goes so fast. You don't believe that right now. But one day you're going to stand here and say the same thing. Life, it is a vapor. It comes and it goes so fast. What are you going to do with your life? You wait to the end and then make the choice? Oh, I think I'll serve the Lord. Too late. You have one life. Give it to Christ and give it to Him now. Father, we thank Thee for this time together this morning. And Lord, I'm grateful for every one of these young people who are here. Lord, the potential for Christ is so great as we look out on these young people. But Father, we know that nothing can be done for Christ if there is not the total surrender of a life. Lord, there are talented young people sitting here. Lord, You don't want just our talents. The world has talents. Father, You want our hearts. You want our purposeful choices to be right, the holy, and eternal. Father, if there's a young boy, a young girl, a man or a woman here today that needs to make some right decisions, would You get hold of their hearts today, and would You allow them to see that there is but one choice for them, and that is to choose Christ. Father, You know every need. Meet it, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.